Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Ephesians 2, in verse 8, the Bible declares, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Notice that, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." Everybody say, through faith. Through faith. Faith is our part. Grace is God's part. God has done his part in providing salvation to us. Now it's by faith that we rise up and we receive that grace. We can't sit back and say, "Well, I'm saved. Praise the Lord. I got saved, you know, and I answered an altar call, or I prayed a prayer, and I know I'm saved. Oh, but thank God for it. What are you doing with it?" We're not just to be sitting back saying, "I'm saved." We're to be working out our salvation. Working out our salvation with fear and trembling, the Bible teaches. With fear and trembling, working out this salvation. Fear of falling short of everything God's called us to be in life. Fear of drifting away from this great salvation that we've received from him. Fear of being distracted and pulled away by temptation so that we turn away from God and go back into blindness, go back into our own old ways. No, we need to forget those things which are behind, and we need to keep pressing forward to those things which are ahead. And get aggressive about work out this salvation with fear and trembling. And there is a fear of God, a trembling concerning these realities, trembling at these realities that, wow, look what God has done for me. How could I neglect so great a salvation? How can I treat as common so great a salvation? So we shake ourselves and we make sure that we're growing in our faith in the grace of God. Our faith needs to be growing constantly. Paul the Apostle, by the Spirit, said to the church at Thessalonica, he said, "Your faith groweth exceedingly." Your faith grows exceedingly. Don't you want that testimony? Folks look at you, spiritual people can see, wow, your faith grows exceedingly. I mean, not just a little bit, but a lot. Your faith is growing tremendously. Well, praise God, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. So if your faith is growing exceedingly, then man, you're overcoming. You're overcoming the world. You're overcoming more and more and more obstacles in life. And there's nothing that can keep you down and hold you back in life, no matter what the devil and darkness tries to throw at you. Bless God, you're leaping right over it. You're pressing right through it. Hallelujah. What was meant to work against you has actually worked out for your good. Because you used it to work out your salvation. And you've only gotten stronger through every test and through every trial. You've only gotten better. You haven't grown bitter. Got to watch about bitterness. Bitterness can sneak in there, poison your heart, poison your faith. He says that over here in Hebrews. Why don't you go there with me? Hebrews chapter 12. He says in verse 12, "Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed." You got anything lame in your life? You got some lame spiritual conditions? Well, bless God. He says, strengthen the hands which hang down. And the feeble knees. You got some feeble knees? Strengthen them, strengthen them, strengthen them, strengthen them. And he goes on to show the seriousness that we can't allow our spiritual condition to remain lame. You can't allow your spiritual condition to remain lame, weak. You can't be lethargic. Man, we got to be full of diligence. We got to strengthen those areas. Verse 14, how? By pursuing peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. I'm born again. I'm born again. I know that's who he's writing to. He's writing to born again believers. But notice, he says, without holiness, he says, you won't see the Lord. You won't see him. See, we still have a part to play in receiving and walking in the fullness of God's grace. And that's being strong in faith. Looking diligently, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. So here we're saved by grace through faith. Now he's telling us that we need to look diligently, lest any of us fall short of the grace of God. Remember, we talked about last time in Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, he talks about how the church at Galatia, he said, you have fallen from grace. You have fallen from grace. The English Standard Version said, you are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. So you had received the grace of God, but now you have fallen away from it. See, we can fall from the grace that we have received. That's why we've got to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That's why we got to make sure that we strengthen those areas that are spiritually weak in our life. That's why we have to make sure that we're walking in love, having being at peace with all people. Not angry, walking in bitterness, resentfulness. Why? Because he tells us a root of bitterness could spring up out of your heart and cause trouble and defile you, and thus cause you to be severed from Christ, so that you have fallen from that grace. See, because you got your eyes off of God's grace. You got your eyes off of what God has done and is doing in your life, and now you're trusting again in yourself. You've taken your faith off of God, and you've put your confidence in yourself. It has happened. People have gotten saved. They've gotten cleaned up by the grace of God. They've gotten their minds renewed to the Word of God. They've become strong in their faith. And then people get into strife. They have a problem with the church. They get offended at other believers. Now all of a sudden, they're too good for that church. They're too good for those people at church. All those people are hypocrites over there. What did you just do? You just exalted yourself above them all. You're better than all of them. That's why you don't even have to go to church anymore. You can have church in your kitchen. And you'd be amazed at how many people talk like that, that we have church at our house. No, you got a root of bitterness in your heart. And it's defiling you, and not just you, it's affecting other people. It's affecting other people in your life. You got to watch. You got to make sure you're at peace with people. Now, they might not like you, and you can't make them like you. But bless God, you can pray for them, and you can be at peace within yourself concerning them, not having any animosity, hatred, or anger, or bitterness in your heart towards anybody. No matter what they do. I mean, when you understand this, I mean, you'll take it seriously even when somebody cuts you off on the road. You're driving your car, someone cuts you off, somebody does something on the road that's obnoxious. And I have found myself many times just reaching my hands out and saying, in the name of Jesus, I forgive you, and I claim you as my inheritance, you heathen. And I start praying for their salvation. Sometimes you turn on the television, and you put on the news, and you got some reporters on there just to make it up stuff, or saying things that you know aren't right, just distorting the truth. And if you just sit there and allow yourself to get angry, a root of bitterness can get in you and defile your life, defile your faith. You got to take it seriously. I've had to look at the little journalist there and say, I forgive you. I don't hold anything against you. And I don't have to watch you either. You got to take this stuff serious. You can't allow anger, and meanness, and hatred, and bitterness to get in you. Because look what it could do to you. It could cut you off from the grace of God. See, now a lot of folks have the idea, I got saved. I received the grace of God. Good. Well, you can also fall from that same grace that you received. And so that's why fear and trembling. That's why we watch what we say. We watch what we're doing. We keep tabs on ourselves. We check up on ourselves. We make sure that we're continuing in the faith. That's what he says over here in 2 Corinthians. Hold your place in Hebrews. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 in verse 5. He says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. He's writing to the church. He's writing to believers. And he says, you got to do an examination on yourself. You got to do a faith examination, a faith checkup. A lot of folks are big on going to the doctor and getting exams, getting a physical, getting a checkup. Man, more important than a physical is a spiritual. You got to go and you got to examine your faith. You need to get a Bible scan or a church scan. Come to church, you'll get a scan. And things will begin to show up as the preacher's preaching. Eh? And all of a sudden you begin to see things on the radars, on the screen, you know. And you look and you think, oh, I've got some lame areas. I got some weakness here. There's a root of bitterness there. See, you wouldn't get that in your kitchen. You wouldn't get that having church at home, see? And that's why another reason why a lot of folks have church at home, see? They avoid the scanner. But there's a scanner going forth this morning. God's word's going forth, and it's lighting things up. It's illuminating things. It's showing us areas that we might not be able to see on our own. And man, I'll take all the help I can get. When I understand these things, when I understand that I can fall from the grace of God, that I can lose this great salvation that I have received and have been walking in for so long, and I can lose this, man, I'll take all the help I can get. Hallelujah. Give me light. Give me the truth. I don't want to believe lies. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want the enemy to be able to cause darkness to blind my eyes again. No, I've been born again. I can see the kingdom of God, and I want my vision to get better and better. Well, let's check our vision then. Let's have an examination. Check up on yourself. Check up on your faith. That's what he's telling us here. He says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Prove yourselves. Don't just accept things. Prove it. Prove it out in your life. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless, indeed, you are disqualified. Disqualified. What does that mean? No longer eligible. No longer eligible for Jesus to be in you. You can be disqualified from Jesus. He says, Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? And then he says, unless you be disqualified. See, we can be disqualified by not competing lawfully, not competing according to the rules, or in other words, not living by faith. So we examine ourselves and make sure we're in faith. That means we need to recognize all faithlessness, all kinds of faithlessness. Remember, Jesus, that's one of the things that got Jesus upset the most with his disciples is when they yielded to faithlessness. He looked up and said, where's your faith? How is it you have no faith? See, that was something that Jesus, you see him get upset about with his disciples. Or concerned about. Where's your faith? How is it you have no faith? We need to recognize where we're being faithless. When we're not walking in peace. Not walking in holiness. These are all signs of us not being strong in faith. If you're weak in faith, it's gonna show up in your peace or your lack of peace. You're gonna lack peace. You're gonna be anxious. You're gonna be fretful. You're gonna be worried. You gotta recognize right there, ooh, my faith is weak. I need to strengthen that. Where you find yourself yielding to the flesh, yielding to temptation. Being drawn to the lustful things of this world. And now you recognize, oh, my holiness is waning. My holiness is weak. What does that mean? My faith is weak. My faith is weak. So again, I don't focus in on trying to fix the holiness and fix the peace. I go back to the source of it, which is my lack of faith. And I fix that. And I get my eyes back on it. I got my eyes off of Jesus. I'm not trusting in God. I'm trusting in myself. I'm putting too much on people. I'm too worried about what they think. I've got to get back to trusting God. I've got to get back to looking to Him for my peace and my joy and my righteousness and my confidence, my holiness. Any good thing that comes out of my life, it's because of God. I'm trusting Him for good things today. I'm trusting Him to be able to live a good life today. I'm trusting His Spirit to keep me on course. See, that's not trusting in your works. That's trusting in God for your works. But works are important. That's why we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. But there's a perversion of truth in the body of Christ today where we've just thrown away works and say, well, works really don't matter because it's all about grace. No, it's about your faith in the grace of God, and faith without works is dead. So we need to recognize that if I'm truly in faith, then I'm going to have works. I'm going to have the appropriate works. So I prove myself. I examine myself. I examine how I talk. I examine how I walk to see how my faith is doing. Am I trusting in Jesus? Am I trusting in Him? If I am, then there's going to be peace. There's going to be holiness. So we examine ourselves and we prove ourselves and we make sure that we're in faith. Knowing that Christ is in us. And also knowing that we could be disqualified. I mean, the Apostle Paul, this was a concern of his. He was concerned about that as well over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says in verse 24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run, thus not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Notice that this is the Apostle Paul, and here he's concerned with being disqualified. Now, if anybody should feel like they got it in the bag, and man, they're saved and they're sealed for eternity, it should be the Apostle Paul. But yet here he is saying, I discipline my own body after preaching to others, lest I myself be disqualified. Now, the King James Bible, this is New King James that I read from, but the King James says, lest I be a castaway. Lest I be a castaway. Lest myself should be a castaway, which means one rejected as unworthy, rejected, reprobate, worthless. Lest I become a worthless Christian. Lest I become rejected and unworthy, a reprobate. So you don't hear much of this teaching in the body of Christ today, yet we need it. We need to have this healthy fear of the Lord. It keeps us running our race. It keeps us disciplining our bodies. It keeps us pressing forward to what God has for us so that we don't grow slack. Because if we grow slack and our hands grow weak and our spiritual knees are feeble and we don't find them kneeling down very much and we don't find ourselves humbling ourselves before God very much and praying very much. We're very busy. We have very busy lives. And we find that we're not where we're supposed to be spiritually. Then we can fear and thus rise up and shake ourselves. But if we have no fear of God, there's no shaking ourselves. We just sink more and more into this place where we become a castaway. Now, I have no intentions of being a castaway. I don't believe the Apostle Paul was expecting to be a castaway. But yet, he feared, didn't he? He feared that possibility. And he did everything he could to keep himself in line, to keep himself in check. Sin is not something you want to play with. The devil is not someone you want to play with. We don't want to play with these things because these things can quickly overtake us. It's kind of like a riptide out in the ocean. You know, they warn about these riptides. You get out there and all of a sudden the undertow just grabs you and starts pulling you out. And then all of a sudden it catches you and you can't get back. And I had a couple times in the course of my life out in the ocean where there were a couple moments like that. And I remember as a little kid, all of a sudden this undertow started pulling me and I couldn't get back. And just as soon as that undertow let me go and I started to move forward, another one would grab me and pull me. And I couldn't get back. And man, you know, you start panicking and you get worn out pretty fast, not just physically, but I mean, you get worn out because emotionally, the fear that's gripping you, the thought of, I can't get back. I'm going further out. And I'm trying to fight this thing. And you just never know. When you're dealing with sin, you're dealing with Satan. You're dealing with demons. And they can hook you. And they can begin pulling you out into deep waters where you can't get yourself back. And thus, you are now overcome. And you drown in darkness. And you lose your very salvation. And we have to understand, I'm vulnerable to this. So there should always be a red flag up. Always keep a red flag up. Because wherever you go in life, there is a riptide. There is an undertow. There are things that will undermine your salvation. There are things that will undermine the grace of God to you. There are things that will undermine your faith. It's all around you. So you got to keep the red flag up. And I carry all my life floating devices that I can. We got to keep ourselves filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the life of God. So there's no danger of going under. No danger of going under. Even when we feel the riptide. There's no fear because you got your floaty, your faith. Your faith is your floaty, right? and it's pumped up. It's filled up, right? Your faith is filled up. You keep your faith filled up. And there's no fill. Say, so, oh, this thing's pulling me out. It's kind of fun. And we just kind of kick a little bit. Because we know, it doesn't matter how far it pulls me out, I can always get back. I'm not going under. I love that. Don't you love living like that? Doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter what kind of trial, test the devil throws at you. Doesn't matter what kind of crisis he tries to bring into your life. You could smile at it. No, I got faith to overcome this. I will not go under. I will not go under. I will go over. Somebody say, I'm going over. I will not go under. My faith in God will keep me afloat. Over in Galatians again, Galatians chapter 1. In verse 6, he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. So there's a turning away from him. That's really what the falling away is. The falling away is when you begin to turn towards other things. Other things start distracting you from him. There's so many distractions around us, aren't there? We've got to protect ourselves. We've got so many things buzzing and beeping and ding, all kinds of things, ringing. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, your phone used to be at home. Now, it lives with you. It lives with you. Your phone lives with you. And it's not just a phone. I mean, to get on the internet, you used to have to plug a telephone wire into your huge computer, right? And then you'd wait. Until it connected to the web. Remember that? That's what it sounded like. Now, it's with you 24/7. Soon they're gonna implant it into your under your skin, probably. So you can just listen to your hand. Just talking to your hand. Put it in your brain. You don't even have to talk. You just think, and the people are getting it. It's texting while you're thinking. That'd be really spacey, won't it? So many distractions, things to turn us away from him, turn us away from him. But we got to watch. We got to watch that we do not turn away from him. Go with me to back to Hebrews chapter 2. Notice in verse 1, it says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. So we talk about falling away, turning away, drifting away. And he says, man, we got to give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard. Man, we got to hang on to the stuff we're hearing this morning. We got to be earnest, intense when it comes to the word of God, lest we drift. We drift away. And this, folks, they turn and they drift and they don't even really know that it's happening. And then they end up falling, just falling away. It's kind of like drifting down a river towards a waterfall. They don't even know it's coming. They've turned in the wrong direction. They're just drifting. And you know, if you put your life or spiritual life in neutral, you will drift towards the falls. You will drift towards the fall from grace. Because the current of this world is going that direction. We have to be like salmon. You know what I'm saying? You know what salmon do? They swim against the current, man. They just fight the current. They just go against it. Everything's going past them. They're determined to get somewhere. And that's how we got to be. We got to be determined. We're going to fight. We're going to fight the current. Fight the current. Fight the current. I'm just so tired. Okay, go to hell then. I mean, is that what you want? What option do you have? I ain't going to hell. it's not that hard. It's not that hard when you have faith, because your faith does all the work. It's like putting a motor on there. Why row when you can just wah? Right? That's me. That's how I'm going through life. Wah! That's how we go through it, man. We got some horsepower, some Holy Ghost power. Come on. Faith in the Holy Ghost. Faith in the power of God to propel us forward. Not sitting there in the flesh. Oh, I've been working hard all week, but I can't do it. Stay in the boat. We'll get over to the other side. Somebody say, I'm going over to the other side. Praise God, we're going to get there. We're not going to get there worn out either. Oh, Jesus, it's so good to be here. Collapse at the gate, you know. Not going to collapse at the gate. We're being refreshed every day. We're being refreshed and revived, rejuvenated. Praise the Lord. We're letting angels flap their wings around us, and we're receiving fresh and fillings of the Holy Spirit. Come on. We're drinking up the Word of God and feeding our faith, and hallelujah. And we're moving forward. And we're examining ourselves, and we're looking. We're saying, hey, praise God, I was back there the other day. Now I'm up here. I'm going forward. I'm moving forward. I'm not going back. But if we see, you know, I'm kind of moody. I was kind of happy last week, but this week I'm obnoxious. What do you need to do? You need to fix that. You need to get that fixed. Fix your faith. Fix your faith. Go look at your fuel gauge. Oh, my faith is low. My faith is low. I need to get some faith in there. Get the word of faith in the tank. It never runs out. Just keep fueling the tank. Keep fueling the tank. And then won't be out there in neutral, just drifting. Whatever happens, happens. Stuff happens. Life happens. You never know what's going to happen. With God, you never know. They just drift. You never know. You never know with God. Well, you better know. You better know with God. Faith knows. Somebody say, faith knows. Thank God we're not drifting away. Praise God. I'm not going backwards. I'm going forwards. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Man, there's so many things we could say about this. Why don't we go to 1 Corinthians 15? Verse 1, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. If. Now remember, we had some ifs last time, right? Every week since in the series, we're finding scriptures that have an if in there. Remember, Jesus Christ is in you if, unless you're disqualified. By which you are saved if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Is it possible to have believed in vain? To have gotten saved in vain? To have lost what you had gained in God? Yes. And remember, there's a devil who seeks diligently to steal the word that was sown in your hearts. So we have to guard ourselves. He wants to steal that from you. We're not going to let him. We're not going to let it. We're going to give more earnest heed to the things we have heard. We're going to pay attention that much more. And the more distractions that the world wants to bring to us, the more we're going to discipline ourselves to make sure that we focus in all the more to hear the word of God, to be sure that we're doing the things that we have heard. We're being doers of the word, not just good preachers of it, not able to just run and tell somebody else about it while we ourselves are becoming castaways. You got to watch, you know. People get very excited about sharing it with others. You know, sometimes people with a call of God on their life, they get a word from God, and all they're thinking about is delivering it to somebody else. I got to preach this to somebody else. Well, no, bless God, it's for you first. Are you applying it to your life? A lot of ministers, they get things from God, but they themselves aren't even doing it. It's not real to them, but they're excited about sharing it. That's what Paul was watchful about in his own life. Lest I preach to others, I myself become a castaway, become disqualified. So we're saved if, everybody say if. If we hold fast the word, hang on to the word. Hang on to the word. Hang on to the word. Lest you have believed in vain. Wow. What a warning. See, this is where the fear of God comes. This is what we fear. This is what the fear of God's all about. We got to watch out for the ifs. We got to make sure, yeah, we're examining ourselves and we're keeping our faith strong and we're believing. I'm believing more today than when I first believed. Are you believing more today than when you first believed? You should know more, be believing more. If not, you need to get on yourself right away. Take it seriously, get on it right away. Because remember, Jesus said, he said, many will come to me in that day over in eternity. And they'll say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out devils in your name? Didn't we do this? And we did it in your name. We were in the ministry. We served you. We believed the Bible. We preached it. We prophesied. We yielded to the Holy Spirit. Lord. And he said, I'll say to them, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. I never knew you. Cast away, and they'll be cast out. Wow. He said, many. Many are going to come to him, and they're going to be shocked. Whoa, what? Wait, what? 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 Why aren't you opening the door? Peter! Peter! They're going to be scared. They're going, I don't want to find out then. Huh? I don't want to just take things for granted and just think I'm just going to coast on in. You're not going to coast on in. You're going to press on in. Nobody coasts on in. We press on in. We take this serious. And we examine ourselves. We prove ourselves. We make sure we're talking the right talk. We're thinking the right thoughts. We're living the right kind of life. And we understand everybody's got flesh. We all deal with temptations and we're in a nutty world. We're in an unsaved environment. And so we've got unsaved stuff messing with us all the time. We don't judge ourselves by the mess and how we feel. We judge ourselves based on the Word of God and the fruit of the Spirit. How are we doing? How are we doing? How are we doing? We're going to keep ourselves strong in faith. Keep ourselves strong in faith. How do you do that? By checking up on yourself. Check up on the fruit of the Spirit. Make sure these things are flowing out of your life. Flowing out of your life. Don't try to be more lovely to people. Just focus in on the love of God. Because if you're really focusing on the love of God and how much he loves you, it's going to be hard for you to hold things against others. How can you, who have received mercy and love from God, hold things against others? Unless you're not beholding the love that God has for you. Life is to be an overflow of our relationship with God and our understanding of him. The fruit of the Spirit is to overflow. It's not something we're trying to make happen. It's overflowing. It's overflowing. But we're making sure it overflows. You make sure it overflows. Make sure it overflows. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1 in verse 21. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable in his sight. Hallelujah. Beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Notice that. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded, steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. Can we get moved away from these things? Yeah, we're not going to though, are we? We're not going to let anything move us away. We're going to be steadfast. We're going to press in. We're going to continue in these things. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Did that help you this morning? Yeah. An injection of the seriousness of our salvation. Say, my salvation is very serious. I take it seriously. I'm not complacent with my salvation. I'm diligent with it. Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet with me this morning. Let's thank the Lord.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.